Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, who makes all things new, whose mercy endures forever. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin. Holy One, source of our renewal. Thus says our God, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. God's mercy makes us new. We are forgiven in the name of Christ, our Savior. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful to their calling to be your daughters and sons, and empower us all with your Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory to God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, Glory! O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. A reading from Acts. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to those who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Conversation I had with people over the course of this week, I was reminded of a prayer that has been attributed to Archbishop Oscar Romero. And he didn't write it. It was, I believe, written for a funeral service. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and to do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers. Not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. And I often need to be reminded of one of those lines, the whole prayer, the concept that we are ministers and not messiahs, often. How many of us want to just fix things? And just fix people, right? But we're ministers. Not messiahs. The word minister means servant. And we have one who shows us how to be a servant, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are joined to follow this servant, our Messiah, through the waters of holy baptism, and through the waters of holy baptism, we are all ministers, right? And our first lesson from Isaiah, God is addressing a nation in anguish and pain. But God promises to send a servant that will bring justice to Israel. But not just Israel, to all nations. Now, in a conversation with some folks in our congregation this week, the question is always, how do we minister to our community? And they essentially said that we need to minister to people who are hurting. who are lost, who are lonely. And Isaiah is speaking to the pain of exile. But I can't help but to think, in reflecting on these conversations that I've had throughout the week, is that there are people in our community today that are experiencing a pain of exile as well. There are people in our community that have been exiled by their family, their friends, society at large, and even their own church. And in Isaiah, God is speaking to a pain of a people, Israel, and they've been on quite a journey. They were delivered from captivity in Egypt. God made a covenant with them and brought them to the wilderness, to the land of Canaan. They became a nation. They built a temple for God. They had their ups and downs. They had military victories and losses. And when they weren't faithful, when they weren't faithful to God's covenant, He had the prophets call them back. But one day they found themselves defeated by the Babylonians. Their temple destroyed, their identity as a nation just all in shambles. Life as they knew it was no more. When we are lost, when it seems like our enemies have won, when evil prevails, nobody is held accountable, feels like God is absent, God is weak, or has God just handed us over? How could all this happen to God's chosen people? And again, today, it's a question that many people of faith and even no faith ask when bad things happen. How could this happen? You're faithful, yes? How could this happen? God is all powerful, all loving, yes? It certainly creates an identity crisis for Israel. It does for us as well. But God did not abandon or forget Israel. The promise we hear in Isaiah is that a servant will transform Israel and the entire world. What we learn at Epiphany, and that's emphasized today in the feast of the baptism of our Lord, is that God is a God for all nations. That God sends a servant not to be a dictator, but a liberator. This is a liberating God. In holy baptism, we are freed by this liberating God, not held captive to some kind of angry, dictator-like God that some perceive us to worship and belong to. And that God's justice and liberation is indeed for all people. Which brings me back again to those conversations I had throughout this week. Because I give thanks to God for that spirit of liberation that is flowing through the disciples here in this congregation. Because the question and answers isn't looking to how to get more members on the rolls, how to get warm bodies in pews. The questions and answers isn't about programs or events that serve as boxes we just check off to give our institution a sense of accomplishment. The question is, how can we serve other people? It's not even how can they serve us. We are ministers, not messiahs. And as we heard in Isaiah, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I think in Luke's gospel, Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah. Some of these words might sound familiar, right? It says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. We are joined to this covenant. We are covenant people, servants and ministers to the waters of baptism, called to be a light to the nations. To share the love of God with those who feel like they've been exiled, who feel like they are captive to the sins of a dark and broken world. Now, we don't fix them. We don't save people. Because we're ministers. We're not messiahs. Guess what? They have a messiah. It's not you and it's not me. It's Jesus. We have a messiah. It's Jesus. You can't save yourself either, in case you're wondering that as well, right? God has sent his servant that fixes, heals, and gives new and abundant life eternal. We sing like our gathering hymn, All Are Welcome, and it's such an easy concept, I think, to just, yeah, all are welcome. We see it on tons of church marquees. You drive anywhere, right? Everybody's welcome in any church, anywhere, right? What do we mean behind those words of welcome, right? And our scriptures today give us a sense of how God continues to expand that welcome. The reason we are all sitting here, I don't think it's far-fetched to say that we're all Gentiles, right? Right? I mean, if you do your 23andMe, we might be, I think I'm like 1% Ashkenazi Jewish, but like for the most part, I'm Gentile, right? We're all here because of God's expansive love of including us in the family of God. So we discern constantly what it means to truly welcome, to minister, and to serve those who have been pushed out on the margins. Because we too have been brought into this new life with the living God. We too hear that voice that God has claimed us as beloved children through the waters of holy baptism. I love that the psalm we said today, the voice. That's the voice of God saying to you too. You are a beloved child of God. With you, God is well pleased. Through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, you have been made well. Through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, we know what it means to imitate the servanthood of Christ in the world because we are ministers, servants, pointing to our Messiah. It's not a ministry that we're called to sustain the institutions or perpetuate a status quo. It's to be with the captive, the marginalized, and those hurting in our congregation, in our community, throughout the world. And with the love of Jesus, as ministers, we can comfort the hurting, welcome and include the marginalized, and release the captives from the shame and judgment of a harsh, dark, and broken world. But it's understanding our role in being ministers and servants. God does not call the qualified. That's one of my favorite lines. But he equips the call, right? Equips the call. All of us have been called. We truly embody what it means to be ministers to the waters of holy baptism, the concept of the priesthood of all believers. We all have a role. You all have gifts to share the love of Jesus in this world, to point to a Messiah who brings justice, who brings heaven to earth, and who gives each and every one of us love and life without end. Thanks be to God. Amen. This time I'd like to invite forward any members elect from the church council or the Christian Ed Board to come forward. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice with these sisters and brothers who will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God, who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one, together with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation,
in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith, active in love, fostering peace, harmony, and mutual understanding in this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Face the congregation. People of God, I ask you, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized?
We will, and we ask God to help us.
Face me again. I now declare you installed as officers, council members of this congregation, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God bless you, and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ.
Amen.
We continue with the hymn of the day.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Calling God, you speak with power to your church. Open our hearts and minds to the new things you are declaring. Strengthen bishops, pastors, deacons, lay leaders, and teachers of the faith. Equip the baptized for your reconciling and redeeming work. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
Renewing God, you provide the waters of the earth, and in Jesus' baptism, you reveal the waters of life. Cleanse and protect oceans, rivers, and watersheds. Bring relief to parched lands and to communities without access to safe water. Merciful God. Righteous God, you never weary of establishing justice. Increase cooperation and constructive dialogue between nations. Guide local, national, and international authorities to govern with equity, vision, and integrity. We pray for those in military service, for peacemakers, and for our enemies. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
Abiding God, your mercy is steadfast. Give sanctuary to people who flee from oppression, war, poverty, and famine. Sustain healthcare workers, caregivers, first responders, counselors, and all who help and heal. Comfort those who are grieving or experiencing crisis. Especially we pray for Justin, Tracy, Mike, Scott and Connie, Donna, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Regina, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Lucas, John, Cindy, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God. Blessing God, in Christ you gather the beloved community. Kindle the gifts of your Spirit in your people. Accompany the newly baptized, those recently ordained, and any beginning a new ministry. Inspire synodical leaders and congregational councils to serve with imagination and wisdom. Merciful God. Promising God, your faithfulness endures throughout all generations. We give thanks for those who have died in Christ, trusting that we will be united with them and all the saints in Christ's resurrection life. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering. Thank you.
pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward anybody who's participating in children's church or participating in the distribution of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Distribution will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you need grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. Ushers will have trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal, you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
I'd like to invite forward anyone bringing communion to our homebound today. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive this sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You have an announcement for the good of the community?
Good morning. As all of you were aware, we experienced some weather over our Christmas weekend. And traditionally, the pastor's gift is given during this time from the congregation. So without further ado, Pastor, will you please come forward? On behalf of the congregation, I present this gift and thank you for your ongoing commitment and guidance to us and the surrounding communities.
Merry
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Just a word of thanks. I'm going on 12 years here. I think, Brian, when we were at that first call retreat, we talked about first call being, what, maybe 3 to 5? So I'm probably dense and not taking the hint, but I appreciate your love and support throughout these years and just doing ministry together and being able to love and serve one another through ups and downs in my life and in yours. And a lot has happened through the course of our time here. So I just am very grateful to be able to do ministry with the fine folks here in this parish. Thank you. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.